Salut à toi le Guyanais, salut à toi le Togolais, salut à toi le Guinéen, salut à toi le Guadeloupéen, salut à toi le Congolais, salut à toi le...
On WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton, this is Ramon Lopez with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, March 25th. So far, your Tesla electric car appears safe in Sarasota. But according to local cops, a 44-year-old West Palm Beach man is facing felony charges, aggravated assault with a weapon, for purposely driving his SUV into a group protesting at a local Tesla dealership over the weekend. The protest was one of a slew nationwide in response to billionaire Elon Musk's work for Trump in cutting federal spending and workforce. There's been incidents where Tesla cars made by Musk have been torched and shots fired at Tesla dealerships. Local cops said the driver nearly struck multiple protesters, but they jumped out of the way and no one was injured. Afterwards, the driver went into the dealership and told workers there, "I stand for Tesla." Dual license plates would be required on Florida-registered vehicles if a bill is passed by the Florida legislature. SB 92 would make the Sunshine State the 30th state to require vehicles to display two tags. Bill sponsor Joe Gruters, representing Sarasota, says the move is aimed at catching hit-and-run drivers. He said having plates on both the front and the back of vehicles will help ID those accident runners. The Bradenton Herald reports that county officials hope to partner with the state to add a key link to the Florida Wildlife Corridor near Miyaka City. The link involving 550 acres of land in East Manatee County would help endangered Florida panthers traverse the state. On April 2nd, Sarasota County leaders will celebrate Keith's Farmhouse's restoration at Philippi Estate Park. The farmhouse, built in 1916, is one of the county's most significant historic structures. It reflects the area's early development and cultural heritage. Over the years, it served multiple purposes, from housing estate workers to becoming a residence for artists. It has been transformed into an interpretive center to highlight the area's history. This has been Ramon Lopez with your WSLR headlines for Tuesday, March 25th.
Good morning. You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing live every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Rebecca Acosta, and I am your host. A huge thanks to our soundboard operator, Alvaro Montalegre. Our goal is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. As a disclaimer, everything said here today is uncensored, can be extremely diverse, and does not necessarily reflect the views of WSLR, their staff, nor their volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here on the Healthy Living Hour is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. You can listen to us live, stream anywhere in the world on WSLR.org, or download the free app. And today with me, I have a very special guest. I have been hoping to have her on the show, and I'm so grateful she agreed so readily. We're going to be talking to Dr. Jay Dunn. Dr. Dunn has been practicing natural medicine for over 30 years. She is a chiropractic physician and certified in functional medicine. She is an internationally known lecturer on genetics and nutrition, teaching physicians around the world on how to use genetic information to get to the underlying causes of disease. And from personal experience, I would just like to say that this method of testing and targeted nutrition has changed my life and changed, I know, the well-being and lives of many that I know. So thank you for being with us today, Dr. Dunn. And could you please introduce yourself a little bit more and tell us a little more background information?
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to speak with you on your Healthy Living Hour. I'm so excited for your new show and how you're sharing information with your audience. It's very cool. Yeah, and thank you for that introduction as well. Just a little more about that. You actually attended one of my classes, and you kind of just took that information and ran with it, and I'm so impressed with what you've done with it. But to back up how I got here, I started practice almost 35 years ago. I added up. 1988 is when I started. Wow. 1988 is when I started doing natural medicine, and I started with kinesiology and muscle testing, which I fell madly in love with, and I'm still madly in love with, and had a very successful practice in Albuquerque, New Mexico for over 30 years. And, you know, it's very rewarding, as you know, to help people, you know, find true causes of their particular health challenges and really help them turn that around through natural means. And I had a very successful practice. I did all kinds of modalities. As you mentioned, the functional medicine was a piece of it. Chiropractic was a piece of it. The emotional work, the nutrition, all of it, you know, I used to help people. And for most people, they did respond. And I had a very successful practice, as I said. But there were people that I couldn't get anywhere with, no matter what I did, no matter what I tried. It didn't seem to work for them. And, you know, they had a sense of, like, I want to keep trying. Let's keep trying. We'll find it. Luckily, because I kept trying as well. And also looking for my own particular causes of imbalances that I was dealing with, which were depression and chronic fatigue syndrome, which I couldn't seem to get fixed on myself. And I knew we were missing a piece of the puzzle. And so I kept looking and digging, and like you, taking every class I could get my hands on and looking for the answers. And then just out of the blue, I kept hearing this word methylation, which I know you started to hear too, probably around the same time, which was about 8-9 years ago. And right. What is that? What's that word mean? So I Googled it and took a deep dive and started learning about what that meant, and ran across some very smart people who were looking at genetics. And it was just right on the verge of the genome project being finished, where we started to understand and be able to label our genes in a way that we could say this gene is associated with this particular activity in the body or this particular enzyme. And so, long story short, I jumped into that field and started looking, and found for me, you know, did some genetic testing on me, and, you know, because I wanted to be the guinea pig for this, and found that I had one of the genes that I had inherited that turned out to be very pivotal for me was the vitamin D receptor. I don't make the vitamin D receptor correctly. I have what's called a homozygous variant, which means that, you know, you get one gene from mom and one gene from dad. And if you have the correct DNA code for that particular enzyme or receptor, then the enzyme or receptor works correctly. But if you've inherited the wrong code for that from both parents, which I did, you have what's called a homozygous variant. And it impairs the ability of that particular enzyme or receptor to work correctly, and by about 70%. So here's a vitamin D receptor. I can't absorb vitamin D, reduced in my ability by about 70%.
And that's huge.
Yeah. And, you know, those of us that know anything about natural healing know how important vitamin D is in the body. Mm-hmm. And so some of the effects of that are depression, because it's how, you know, vitamin D is critical in us making some of the happy hormones in our brain, the neurotransmitters, and activating our immune system correctly, and absorbing minerals correctly, and, you know, on and on. It has so many effects on the body. So that was step one, was like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? you know, what do I do with that? So it like sucks to be you, or is there something we can do? You know? So started looking at how do we make up for that? Is there a way that we can nutritionally say, let's make that work better? Let's, you know, yes, you inherited it for a particular reason, but can we make up for it and can we make it work better? And I did find the answer. And that was a pivotal moment when I started to look at what are the cofactors to make that enzyme or that receptor work better so it can absorb vitamin D. And bam, my brain turned on and my depression of 50 some years was gone almost immediately. It was very, very
right.
Good. And my immune system turned on and I was able to get rid of a chronic fatigue syndrome due to an Epstein-Barr viral infection within a few weeks. And I was like, what just happened? Because this was weird. I had never felt happy before. So it was like, oh my gosh, it changed my brain. And it changed and it gave me compassion for understanding that it wasn't really my fault that I was depressed. And I had been blaming myself. And I think it's something we do, this blame shame kind of game we play when we feel like we're just, you know, being wimpy, or you know, a lot of people say, just be happy. What's the matter with you? Why can't you just be happy? And it's like, I couldn't.
Right.
My brain couldn't make those neurotransmitters correctly, and now they can. And so it was the beginning. That was like when it all started.
Wow. Yeah. And I know I had a very similar experience after, I don't know, was that 4 or 5 years ago in a class with you? Maybe 6 now? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But after getting on, you know, these very simple vitamins, maybe 5-6 pills for me a day. And it's like, wow, I'm not brain tired anymore. I went to a conference for blood chemistry, functional blood chemistry, endocrinology, which to me was the hardest one. All the hormones, pancreas, all that, you know. And I remember sitting in the front row, and I always sit in the front row at these things, if I can share, because I would easily get distracted, and I just wanted to be laser focused and really pick up and take great notes of everything and not have any interference. And I remember the last day, it was around right after lunch, and the instructor looked around the room and he kind of looks at me and he says, well, it looks like everybody but Rebecca needs a break. How about, we got a lot of material to cover. Let's take 5 minutes, go get some coffee, get some water, do what you need to do and come back here. And it clicked. It dawned on me that, oh my gosh, I'm not head tired like I so often used to be daily. And that was after a week of taking the nutritional protocol. And I was wowed. It was and it's continued to be a game changer for me and many of us. And I just thank you for your work and thank you for, you know, doing your deep dive into the research and putting this together for practitioners like myself to be able to change lives in a more profound, quicker, more impactful way, like really never before.
Yeah, and that, thank you for that. I appreciate your experience with that too. And that was the thing. And so when I took it back to my practice and started using it on people, you know, kind of coming at their health conditions from a very different paradigm. Mm-hmm. And as you say, simple nutrients. So but it was very targeted at their specific genetic variants. And so it isn't like, oh, you go take a multiple vitamin and you get everything you need in there and everything will work right. Some nutrients can send you in the wrong direction and others can send you in the right direction. And so each program was designed specifically for, you know, around your specific, unique genetic inheritance, you know, your genetic makeup. And that was the key, was the specificity of, you know, the nutrients. And they are simple, really, because our body runs on vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, carbs, fats, water.
The basics.
Right. We don't have to get fancy. We have to get precise. And that was the difference. So when I started to do this on some of my recalcitrant patients, you know, they just weren't responding to anything. They responded. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is the missing piece. And things that were difficult before, things like leaky gut or autoimmune or, you know, really severe depression or brain chemistry issues or detoxification, heavy metal detox, all of those things started to respond in a way that was elegant because the body was doing it rather than, you know, you get it, Rebecca, you and I have gone the gamut of like studying how to fix a leaky gut or, you know, detox heavy metals or all the things that are difficult to do and micromanaging the body rather than giving the body what it needs to do it. And this was a whole different perspective and a whole different paradigm for me. And it started to work. And it was really cool because one of my first patients was a young boy and he had been to literally 40 different doctors before he got to me. And he had been in a wheelchair. He had what was called reflex sympathetic dystrophy or chronic regional pain syndrome, I think they call it now. And was confined to a wheelchair and in severe pain. He was 10 years old when he came into our practice. And my colleague was working on him, and she was like, I can't seem to get anywhere with this young kid. Would you take a look at him? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I started working on him in the traditional way that I had been before. And I said, I think you have Lyme. I think you have Lyme disease. Were you ever tested for that? And his parents were like, no. And oddly enough, they had just moved there from outside of Lyme, Connecticut. And I said, well, did you see a bullseye rash on him at any time? And they're like, yeah, we did, actually. And I was like, nobody tested him for Lyme. And so I started treating him for Lyme. And then right at that time was when I had, you know, kind of shifted into like, let's look at this genetically. Can we, are you guys open to me like shifting our treatment protocol to looking at the genetics and balancing that and seeing what happens with that? And they were like, yeah. This young kid, super intelligent. He was, you know, he was gifted. He was in the gifted program, but couldn't attend school because of his condition. And he was allergic to 90% of the foods. So he, you know, he's like down to just a few foods to eat. And so he had leaky gut, you know, in my usual like analysis of him, we found Lyme, we found vaccine residue, we found leaky gut, we, you know, like all these food allergies. It was a big mess. And I said, well, let's try this. And we stopped focusing on those things. I just shifted to, let's look at your underlying genetics. And looks like here you have an immune system problem because you inherited these variants. So let's focus on those. You also have leaky gut because of these variants. Let's focus on that. You know, so we looked at, as you know, we're really looking at biochemical pathways now rather than like one gene that is associated with a particular imbalance. So I went through and I made up this program for him based on which pathways were not working correctly, whether it was detoxification, whether it was the brain chemistry pathways, whether it was energy production or electron transport, citric acid cycle pathways or histamine pathways, whatever. We balanced the pathways. And he came in the next visit and he could eat everything and all the pain was gone.
Wow. And
I was like, well, I didn't even work on leaky gut. I wasn't what I addressed at all. I just gave his body what it needed to try to balance. And it was the first time I saw these kind of things happen. I was like, oh my gosh, he's out of the wheelchair. He's out of pain. He can eat anything he wants. And then, you know, he started to develop this tic. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? This was scary. But I said, are you okay? His name was Ryan, right? I said, are you okay, Ryan? And he's like, yeah, I can eat anything I want. And I don't have any pain. So I'm good. And I was like, oh God, this isn't right either. You know? So I started looking at, we tested his urine and out was coming all these heavy metals. They were just dumping out like all this mercury and lead and all the heavy metals that had been in his body and weren't unable to get out were suddenly coming out. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. I hadn't purposefully, you know, started working on detox with him, but his body did it. And that was when I first realized that we don't have to micromanage the detoxification. It'll happen, you know, if you give the body the right tools to do it. So we slowed the process down a little bit. His tics went away, and he's now, he's 22. He's in college. He's in the gifted programs there, and he's becoming a robot engineer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. We've remained, you know, good friends, and I've loved watching him just blossom, you know, and go to the next level in his life and live a happy life where it could have been really, really bad. And he'd spent most of his early years in a hospital or in a doctor's office or, you know, whatever. But so
40 doctors, wheelchair to a student in robotics. That's amazing. That's true medicine. That's true healing to me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And again, the paradigm shift was that we don't have to micromanage Lyme disease. We don't have to micromanage heavy metals or vaccine residues or, you know, histamine responses. The body will do that. It just is missing certain key nutrients because of your genetic inheritance that allow it to function properly. And so that was the big shift.
That's a great story. Thank you, Dr. Dunn. And again, if you're tuning in, you are listening to the Healthy Living Hour on WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota. We are talking to Dr. Jay Dunn, and I would say she's one of our big gurus, if I may, in like more of a functional nutrition working on a genetic level called methylation. That I think people want to know, and you're the one doing it, and it's not quite, you know, out there yet. And I just really am so grateful to have you on here to put it out there more broadly so more people can, you know, think about this and put some puzzle pieces together. Personally, I think this is the missing piece of whatever anybody else is doing. If you're doing chiropractic, great. This is a missing piece. If you're doing acupuncture, great. Or, you know, you get a lot of whatever. Or even allopathic medicine. This is still a missing piece of it, I think, to really get to a better level of optimal health and wellness. And I think what I love that, you know, you shifted kind of my way of thinking and looking at things is, and you've mentioned this in your coursework, you know, asking a better question of why. You know, well, the vitamin D is low. You talked about the vitamin D receptor. You know, well, why is it low? I do a lot of blood work here in Florida. You know, we have, we don't have this snowy, cold, cloudy winters. We have sun. Why is 90% of the people that I do blood work on, even if they're outside, how come their vitamin D, you know, three mushrooms have more vitamin D than they do? Why are their vitamin D in the 20s, 30s, 40s when they're outside swimming, golfing, playing tennis? And I think your system really answers these questions better than any other.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I found that too, that it always puzzled me, you know, because my vitamin D level was 18 for most of my life. And I'm like, I like it to be between 60 and 90. Ideally, some doctors, you know, have different values that they like to see it at. But I think in general, there's some agreement about between 60 and 90. And I could never get it up, you know, I know no matter how much vitamin D I took. And so it just, gosh, when I realized that I had inherited a difficulty absorbing it, that made sense to me. And, you know, it was the other things that kind of pointed me toward understanding the genetic kind of things were, you know, my father died at 55 of lung cancer, and really not a big mystery because he was a big smoker and drinker and, you know, unhealthy lifestyle to the max. But my mom married his best friend, and he was doing the same things and lived another 30 years. And so we, you know, we all kind of just go, oh, that has to be genetics, right? We just sort of, you know, we'll park it over there on the side as unexplainable because it's genetics and we don't understand it. But then when I realized that I had that vitamin D receptor, and one of the first studies I looked at on it said that there's a high risk of lung cancer when you smoke if you have that genetic variant. And I went, oh, man, that makes so much sense to me. So that was number two clue that I was on the right track. was, that maybe we can look inside that sort of throwaway, oh, that must be genetics kind of comment that we make. You know, like we see somebody who has an incredible metabolism. They can eat anything they want and never gain weight. We don't like them very much.
Right. I'm with you.
And other people who can look at food and gain weight. And we just go, oh, that's genetics, you know. But yeah, it really is. There are genetic variants that are associated with that. And so now we know what they are. We can look in there and see that and actually change it. And that's the cool thing is, yeah, there's some stuff we can do to kind of upregulate your metabolism and get you losing weight in a way that's more balanced, you know, and that's such a struggle. And like you say, the brain fog thing is, I hear that comment a lot from people. And especially when we first start them on a genetic program is like, oh my gosh, my brain came alive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Mood or focus, and they just feel a lot more present in their lives and more energetic. And so that's a big deal, because I know you know that a lot of our patients come in complaining of fatigue and weight gain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's usually the number one thing they say is, wow, I can, my head is clear, I seem to have more energy.
Yeah. Which is very cool. And allergies disappear, and you know, headaches go, just all the things that people suffer from. And we look at them now, you know, we look at those things as symptoms now rather than, you know, like something we have to go after directly. Symptoms of a genetic imbalance that's there. So to put that in another way, I had a patient that was extremely overweight, and she came in, and you know, you get this as a practitioner. You go, well, clearly they're eating too much and too much high-calorie foods, and they need to exercise. And that's the way we used to think about it. But now, you know, with this patient, I put her on a genetic program, or, you know, a methylation program. And she called me up a week later, and she said, oh, my God. She said, she was crying. And she said, it wasn't my fault. And I said, what wasn't your fault? She said, well, I'm overeating. I just can't stop eating. And she said, on the program, I don't even want sugar anymore. It doesn't even sound good. And it wasn't my fault. It was my body craving it because it was missing something. And I said, exactly. That's what's happening. So I look at weight as a symptom, not a fault. And depression as a symptom, not a fault. You know, and
right.
It's anxiety. That's a symptom, or irritation. That's a symptom, not a personal fault. An addiction. Addictions are the biggie. I saw methamphetamine addicts stop. They just lost their desire for it. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way before, but now I do. I look at the world in that lens versus a personal blame, shame kind of lens. And so it's a whole different world.
It's a very compassionate type of medicine, I feel.
Yeah. And so I'm writing a book on it called Genetic Compassion, because it is about understanding why we are the way we are and why we do things that we do, and understanding the kind of the genetic underpinnings of those things. You know, like for the weight thing, it's fascinating, because if you're good at holding on to weight, which, you know, a large percentage of people are, often your ancestors survived during times of famine, and so your body learned how to store fat, you know, and
yeah.
Now plenty of calories, so it's good at storing fat, and you know, but it kind of sucks. So.
And I think you mentioned too, like, the genetic variants, if we have a variant, it's not a fault. It's just an adaptive way to be in our environment, to survive often.
Right. Yes. Your ancestors survived during certain times because of the genes they inherited. It's a survival of the fittest kind of theory. But our present day conditions are very different than our ancestors were. You know, we didn't have the pesticides and chemicals and heavy metals and electromagnetic fields, radiation, the things that we're dealing with today. We're not prepared for genetically. We haven't adapted to those things yet, because it's been such a fairly new development that there's a lot of chronic illness because of those things. And we actually have the way to fortify our bodies against those, you know, and using natural methods. which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And again, they're so simple, like they're, you know, maybe amounts of vitamin A, different Ks, you know, magnesium, and things that what I see is that maybe other doctors, even natural practitioners, don't really look for the molybdenum. You know, how many people know of that or have heard of that? The selenium, you know, really different things. A lot, gallbladder liver support, that who would know that, you know, when you did this work, that all those are really closely tied into and affect how vitamin D is processed, converted, and utilized in the body.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the human body in a very different way when you use the system. Back to the individual nutrients, the problem is, though, you know, if you take a multiple vitamin, that maybe the B6 in there is going to cause an upregulation of a particular gene that's already upregulated, and it can create a problem. Or B12, methylated B12, or methylated folate. You know, in the past, when we started to look at methylation, one of the first genes we looked at was the MTHFR, the affectionately called the mother flipper. If you had that genetic variant, then doctors would say, "Oh, you need methylfolate, the activated form of folic acid, because you can't activate it because of that gene." And so doctors were giving out like high doses of methylfolate, and oh my gosh, it was making people sick because it was upregulating a pathway that you needed to understand what was going to happen downstream. If you didn't, you know, like my patient that had a dumping of a bunch of heavy metals, it will cause side effects. And so I think it put the brakes on it for people, you know, to not really mess around with methylation because they saw all these side effects happening. But it was a very microscopic view of one gene or one pathway, and they didn't understand the interconnection of the pathways. And that was really the key for us. I had a whole crew of people working on understanding how to work with this material, how to, you know, when you turn on this gene or this particular enzyme that's genetically determined, then what happens downstream, you know, we have to account for that. And so, as you know, we designed what's called a order of clearing that we have to use that starts with, you know, on the left-hand side of our pathways, which are, you know, energy production pathways. You really have to start there and then move in a particular direction. So it was, we found the unraveling, we found the key to it. And when you get a supplement recommendation, it is balancing all of those pathways, and you really have to take them together. It's like a genetically designed multiple based on your specific, unique genetic makeup. And so that's what makes us different than a lot of people looking at genetic variants out there and saying, oh, you have the MTHFR, take methylfolate. You have the CBS, take this. You have the MAO, take that. You can't do it that way. It really hurts people. So it's...
No, exactly. And I think, you know, and you've shared this and I've seen it, even though sometimes we often tell our patients, hey, it's an all or nothing program. If you're missing one piece, stop everything, because that one little vital, maybe the A or, you know, one thing, it gets those pathways working, and then the whole map is broken. The pathway is broken, and they can have side effects. And I've had that time and time again. I think people are just so anxious to take it and they forget. So yeah, that's a great point. Again, you are listening to the Healthy Living Hour with Rebecca on WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 in Bradenton. And for those of you listening in, even if you're not local or you have family that you'd love to introduce them to this, what I feel is cutting edge information in natural medicine, please share with them. They can catch the replay, the podcast, in the archive section on WSLR.org. And they can also download the free app anywhere in the world and play it there. And just a quick public service announcement, the Brown Bag Concert Series has returned to Philippi Estate Park. Sarasota residents are invited to bring their lawn chairs and lunches and come enjoy live music every Thursday during the month of March. Admission is free, and the concerts will take place at the gazebo from noon to 1 p.m. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Jay Dunn, and she is the founder, I guess I'll share this, of My Happy Genes and also holistic methylation practitioners throughout the country and throughout the world, I hope, soon, someday. Thanks again for joining us, Dr. Dunn. We're talking about genetics, nutrition, and how that can impact and influence our health and well-being. Thanks again for joining us today, Dr. Dunn.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, Rebecca. This is fun, and I think it's important information to get out to people to help with some of these really chronic issues and not so chronic issues, you know, being able to prevent things that are coming down the line. And, you know, some people say, I don't really want to know about my genetics. I don't want to know that I'm at risk for Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or, you know, the bad stuff coming down the line. But the good news is you can prevent that. You know, there are things you can do. It's like knowing that the bridge is out ahead and taking an alternate route.
And you share with us, I guess we can maybe back up. What can you share in simple terms what methylation is?
Methylation is just a biochemical pathway in the body, and it's a process where the body adds on a methyl group, which is a carbon and three hydrogen molecules together. And what it does, it has the ability to turn a gene on or turn a gene off. It's also how we make energy. It's involved in a bunch of other biochemical pathways in the body, such as pathways called methyltransferases. Essentially, it helps the body detox. It helps the body repair. It helps the body make neurotransmitters, break down histamine. It just has a lot of really important functions in the body. And so you can inherit genetic variants that impair that, which will lead to, you know, some definite challenges in the health department. Mm-hmm. I know it's a lot of biochemistry. It's like it's a little complicated.
Yeah, I know. I'm still looking for a clear cut, simple way to, you know, deliver this to patients who come in. And it's exciting for me when I see someone in their intake form and they have a, you know, family history. Mom, dad have cardiovascular disease, or dad, brothers died of heart attacks in their 50s. And, you know, maybe aunts, mothers have hypothyroidism or autoimmune. And I get so excited, like, wow, we can turn the Titanic around. We can alter the course. Like, this might not be your destiny, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you've said, if I may share, like, methylation in a very simplified way kind of covers up the gene to prevent it from expression. I think its opposite is acetylation, this word that opens it up for expression. So, you know, we have a way that we never had before in a very more complete sense that can kind of cover the things you don't want to express that you've inherited, and we can change that.
Yeah, exactly. You can change the potential outcomes there, change the risks. That is fun. It's interesting because, you know, in the past, we might have been like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a hard one. Now we get excited about it because we know how to work with these. We know how to get in there in a deep, profound level and help these folks and, like you say, change the trajectory of their lives.
And, Jay, if I might ask you, you know, you bring up something. I find it really relevant in this anti-aging process. Can you talk a little bit about that, how we can really change things?
That's a good question, because I think you know, it's a pretty important topic or current topic, the anti-aging scene. And I'm on it. You know, I think because part of the
you age, are.
I'm determined not to go there. I don't want to go there. But one of the most critical pieces of this is avoiding free radical damage. And so that's a big piece of what we do with the methylation is turning off inflammation and turning off free radical damage and upregulating our mitochondria. Those three are really the key processes that keep us from aging quicker. So mitochondrial damage, as you know, comes from, you know, mitochondria is that little organelle inside the cell that creates energy. It's, you know, we have the nucleus in there, of course, and we have what that's where the genes are. But the mitochondria has its own DNA, has its own set of genes, which is kind of a fascinating concept. But if we can keep that mitochondria healthy, it creates energy, it prevents cancer, it prevents heart disease. Everything works better in the body. And, you know, if you think about children when they're little, they have tons of mitochondria and they run around all day. They have so much energy and they just go, go, go. I look at them and I go, where did that go? You know, why?
I know.
Why, as we age, are we, you know, like, we're breaking down? Our knees are hurting, or, you know, we're getting heavy, we're tired. It doesn't have to be that way. And mitochondria really is the key to that. And so I've really been focusing a lot on, you know, maximizing our mitochondria. But the things that hurt it, it's the stuff, you know, Rebecca, you and I talk to our patients about, you know, eating non-toxic food, you know, eating better food, organic, avoiding pesticides and chemicals and additives as much as possible, because those do damage mitochondria. And avoiding electromagnetic fields, you know, don't put your phone up to your ear because you're actually damaging your mitochondria. Staying away from, you know, microwaves. Don't stand in front of your microwave because you just killed a bunch of mitochondria. Certain medications, especially antibiotics, will, mitochondria, it has a bacterial origin, and so it's highly damaged by antibiotics and other medications. There's a whole list of different medications that actually kill mitochondria. And so it's no wonder that we're tired, gaining weight, can't exercise, mm-hmm. we're heavy, we're fatigued, our brains don't work correctly, and we age. So that's my number one key is maximizing mitochondrial function, and we do that through specific targeted nutrients and avoiding those things, talking to people about, you know, how to avoid damaging them, and at all costs, protect your mitochondria, because that's the key. Yeah. And then when you do that, you reduce and, you know, radicals, free radicals, or, you know, superoxide molecules and all those funky little molecules. But I think most people know the term free radicals. They actually damage cells and can create cancer. So when you upregulate your mitochondria, you lower your free radical production and subsequently inflammation. And we all know that inflammation is a big topic in aging, in disease. You know, it's the cornerstone of heart disease, cancer, brain dysfunction, et cetera, it's pain, inflammation, joint problems, all of that are related. And so really the key goes back to upregulating mitochondria so that we don't age. And I'm on it. Yeah.
You are on it. And although I notice, and I'm sure you do too, now we're getting more research on this. And it's becoming a little, I think in a year or two, it's going to be more of a buzzword. You know, in medicine in itself is on, you know, focusing on mitochondria protection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just read a really good book called Tripping Over the Truth, and it was about cancer and mitochondrial damage and how we knew this back in the 60s. The Warburg principle talked about, you know, all cancers come from mitochondrial damage, which leads to increased blood sugars and insulin levels that feed cancers and, the free radicals that are formed. So it's a very big topic and a very important one, and I'm glad there's more and more information out there understanding this, because it's huge.
You mentioned the word diabetes, and you know, I see, and I know you've seen this too, but people who are type 2 diabetes, it's an epidemic that's rising in our country, even in the youth. And I was kind of floored taking your coursework when it's really, a lot of it has to do with that vitamin D receptor, as you mentioned.
It does, but also, you know, again, that mitochondrial damage can lead to high blood sugar because your sugars, your foods aren't being turned into energy. They're actually like accumulating in your bloodstream. And then insulin has to come in and kind of try to clear it out of your bloodstream. And then eventually your pancreas starts to give out because we become what's called insulin resistant. And then that can lead to diabetes. So I would say even more so, and VDR, yeah, for sure. But also the mitochondrial dysfunction down there, you know, that we look at the ACAT variants and the you know, the N. doofus and the other genetic variants there that are very highly associated with diabetes, yeah, especially type 2. But their VDR is more associated with type 1 diabetes. That's where you see your autoimmune. So both of those we're seeing increase. You're right, absolutely.
And I've noticed, I mean, I'm seeing people that are able to kind of, under the guidance of their medical doctor, their blood sugar levels are coming down on these specific nutritional programs, and they're able to, you know, come off some of their medications. The doctors are taking them off.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And thanks for saying that, because we do work, you know, I would never just take on somebody and say, stop your insulin. That would be
right.
You know, not a good idea. But they do it in conjunction with their medical doctors, who are saying, yeah, your blood sugar is dropping. Let's lower your insulin. And I have seen that happen, and I've seen them get off of that as well. So that's kind of cool.
Great. You mentioned also, if we can do a little bit more on it, neurotransmitters. We have everybody's stressed. We've been impacted in so many levels. And even our youth, you know, suicide rates are up. Mm-hmm. Kids are being given prescription medications for ADD, ADHD, all these new things. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds on, you know, head meds. What do you have there, this methylation, as far as brain neurotransmitters? Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, that's funny. I've never heard of head meds. I like that term.
Oh, sorry. I don't mean it to be derogatory.
No, it's good. I like that. Antidepressant. Sometimes I can't think of that word, antidepressants. But yes, this is a topic that I'm very passionate about because of my own personal story, you know, suffering from depression for my entire life and thinking that it was a personal fault, and then finding my answers. And then, you know, with my patients too, they're coming in. After I put them on a methylation program, they would come in and say, you know, I'm calm. I think this is calm. I've never felt it before, and I've heard of it. It's how the body makes, you know, when we upregulate the methylation pathways, our brain can make dopamine and serotonin and GABA and, you know, some of the other neurotransmitters correctly. And so it changes our brain chemistry very quickly. I'm always surprised at how fast it changes. And so I'm really, really passionate about this because, as you said, there's so much of it going on, so much anxiety, so much stress, so much depression, suicide. PTSD is another one. And these all have underpinnings in the genetic realm. So let me take one particular gene. It's the COMT gene, the catechol-O-methyltransferase. Its job is to break down stress neurotransmitters, adrenaline, noradrenaline, and ultimately dopamine. And if we can't break them down, if you have a genetic variant there, that enzyme is slowed down enough to where you're constantly, your body and brain are constantly overloaded with adrenaline. And it's like you almost got into an accident and, you know, this adrenaline is in your body, but you can't get it out. And that can lead to PTSD. It can lead to ADD, you know, inability to focus and pay attention, anxiety, you know, just the stress not stopping, sleeping issues. And, you know, it's comped people. There's a certain personality that you see, and I can spot it, and you can probably spot it now too. Mm-hmm. Is that when they come in, they are nonstop talking usually, and they're just like, their brain is constantly going, and they're usually very smart because of that high dopamine that they're born with. They're usually higher IQ, and they're fun and interesting and just nonstop, though. They can't shut it down. They're terrible at meditating because it's like they think of all the things they could be doing instead of meditating. They're fun, interesting, smart, but yeah, just nonstop. And they're stress monsters. They're always worried about something, you know. And so it's an interesting personality thing. So if we upregulate that enzyme and get it working better, their whole body calms down. And it's funny because when we have like a lot of adrenaline in our body, we try to think of the reason for it. We go, oh, it's because my in-laws are so blah. I got to pay taxes, or I'm past due, or I have so much work to do. And then when the body calms down, they go, oh, those reasons just went away. It's like, I know I'll get to it. These are things that will happen in time. And, you know, they have a much more balanced, calm, content sort of demeanor. And it's fascinating to see that personality change. And same with, like, irritable people, aggressive, angry, you know, grouchy people. Will come back in and they're just like mellow and sweet, and it's like, wow, whole different person emerges. And for me, you know, again, the depression that I was always kind of clouding my personality, it's gone, and I live in Happyville. That's my baseline now. I mean, sure, things happen where I go, oh, that's sad, and I get depressed for a day, but I bounce back up to a baseline that is generally happy. And so in my world, it was because my dad was mean, you know, or I had crappy stuff happen to me when I was a kid. We all do. We all have stuff, you know, and we can think of a reason why we're depressed, but it often goes away when you get the brain chemistry balanced. I mean, it doesn't mean that I didn't have some very traumatic things happen, but I don't dwell in that place anymore. You know, it's like, yeah, that happened, but I bounce back up to a very more, much more balanced place, and it's a whole lot better place to live than where I was living for most of my life. So yeah, this is I'm very passionate about that topic, and the ways that we can change that are stunning. And you and I have talked about even helping the homeless or veterans that are suffering from PTSD or addicts, or, you know, there's so much potential now when we can apply these concepts to those folks.
Yeah, if they had access and an ability to, you know, be monitored with that, I think it could just be a game changer for both of those.
Yeah, I do too. And that's, you know, why I created a software program to kind of do this in a much bigger way, rather than like me seeing one patient, or I'm not really seeing patients anymore. I'm sending them to you. And you can only see some.
And others, yeah. Yeah, and we're grateful. And, oh, if I can just share, you know, because I'm a licensed acupuncturist. And so for 5 years, you know, 5 year program, my head was trained to look at these perceived pathways in the body, these acupuncture pathways. That's just how my brain works. And I remember the first day sitting in the first class I took with you, and I think it was here in Florida years ago, and you put your genetic map up on the screen, on the overhead. And I looked at it, and, you know, there were a bunch of other types of healthcare practitioners in that classroom, and you started talking, and the light bulb went off in my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is biochemical acupuncture in a way of thinking of it.
That's so interesting, because you come at it from a different sort of paradigm, and looking at, you know, acupuncture points and Chinese medicine and how it applies, kind of overlays the biochemical pathways. I'm sure you see connections there that other people wouldn't quite get.
And yeah, so it clicked and it made sense. And I'm like, I must learn more. But
that's the thing. It is logical. And I hated chemistry in school, and I flunked it a couple times, to be honest, before I became a chiropractor. And then I hated it in chiropractic school, but I love it. I see it in action, and I understand it, and I understand what it does in the body and how to work with it. And it's just magic. So, but it is very logical.
It is. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. And again, you are listening to the Healthy Living Hour on WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota. and WBPV LP 100.1 in Bradenton. We're speaking with Dr. Jay Dunn. And I'll just clarify, she goes by the name, or your first name is just the letter J, not J-A-Y. So Jay Dunn, in case you want to Google her. And we have just a few more minutes, maybe 4 or 5 more minutes, Dr. Dunn. Can you touch, you brought up personalities, and I did my own genetics, and, you know, talking about that dopamine receptor, the DRD.
Yeah, it's really quite fascinating. When I look at people's genetic reports after we get them back, I can go, well, let's see, you are entrepreneurial. You tend to think outside the box. You're always thinking of a better way to do things. And you have issues with sleep, or you have maybe cravings for this particular type of food, or you can really, it's just an amazing amount of information you can get. Just looking at the genes, and people think I'm psychic, and it's like, no, it's right there. It's all in your genetic profile. So I love that piece of it too. And people love it when I do their readings for them. And I tell them, you know, like, you probably really struggled in school, but you were like so smart that you just couldn't focus. And they're like, oh my God, how do you know that? I'm like, oh, it's right there. You know, it's written in your genetic makeup. And so that's fun. I think they get a kick out of that too.
They do. I think it'd be interesting if you could ever come up with, like, there's the millionaire matchmaker. You could do like a genetic type of matchmaking system just on personality stuff, perhaps someday.
Yeah, totally. And I have had that idea because I have done some counseling of couples. I had one in particular, just real quickly, but he was not very emotive, you know, not touchy-feely. And he had low oxytocin receptors and low oxytocin levels, and his wife was just like, he just doesn't express himself. And I was like, he won't, and he can't. This is his genes, you know.
He can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she had issues with detoxification, and he didn't understand that. Like, why? We're in the same environment, but she's always complaining about, you know, chemicals and perfumes. And I said, well, look at her genes. She can't detox the same way you can. Do you see the difference? And they're like, oh, yeah, I see that. So it really helped them, you know, kind of understand each other. But that would be fun. I've always thought that would be a fun thing to do, a matchmaker site. or at least a counseling, you know, a couple counseling site, you know, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, back to that dopamine, you know, that's a lot. There's a big correlation with that and Parkinson's disease. Do you have any insights on that or anything that you've seen clinically?
Yeah, very much so. So we look at how does the body make dopamine, how does it break it down, and you know, we try to upregulate, and how does it absorb it. So we look at receptors, we look at transporters, we look at production of dopamine, and there are some definite genetic variants associated with Parkinson's, and I have seen some dramatic changes in people fairly quickly when it comes to Parkinson's. You know, they walk better. I haven't had a patient where I could take them all the way yet. I started to on several patients, and then I actually quit practicing, and they were getting better. And so I was like, wow, this is huge. Have you been working on Parkinson's with your practice?
I haven't yet. No, I haven't had anyone come in presenting with that. But I think you said this once, it really changes brain chemistry and so quickly. And I think many of us are seeing that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so if we don't have to, maybe we don't need this crazy expensive, you know, long-term care health insurance plans, you know, to be in a facility that takes care of us if our faculties start to go. Maybe we can, you know, put more focus on optimizing nutrition in a different way to prevent these things.
But, you know, if people want to get some help with this, I don't know, can I mention contact information? Or
yeah. How do they find you Yeah, and how do they find your resources, please?
Yeah, so if they want to get their genes tested and get, you know, some of the reports that come from it, myhappygenes.com is where they can find that information. And then holistic methylation. If you just want to learn more, you can go to my YouTube site. Just Google Dr. J Dunn, just the letter J, as you said, D-U-N-N.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Dr. Dunn, thank you so much for being with me the entire hour this morning. I just genuinely appreciate it.